Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hi, Christine.
Christine Marie, you mean?
Yes. What's so funny?
In somebody else's world, Mama.
Exactly right, Mama. Well, it's funny because you said, let's work on the volume control. And then sure enough, we get to start the show and you're like loud right off the bat. I'm like,
oh. Well, that's the way I want it to be.
Yeah, you back off.
I'm like, testing three. One, two, three. Yeah. Good morning, Julie.
Yeah, testing one, two, three. I'll back off so that Julie puts me low and then boom. I'm the star. Like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. I know you are.
I'm a superstar.
Exactly.
That's Paul Rogers, isn't it? Singing Superstar.
So last week we had a little bit of a break. A break, only because I was on vacation in Canada.
Yeah.
And I was in Quebec.
Not just Canada. Not just Canada, girlfriend. Mm-mm. You were in Montreal. Mm-hmm. You were in French-speaking Quebec.
And then I went to this spa run by the government called Jouvence. Really lovely experience. Mm-hmm. But it was an intensive program.
What is a government spa? Sounds like Germany in the 40s.
Exactly.
You will go to the government spa.
And you will enjoy yourself. And you will really enjoy yourself. I guess cause it means a nonprofit.
Got it.
Okay. Which I don't know if it means that it loses money. It just means not for profit.
Yeah, it wasn't cheap, people.
Exactly. And then, they really took pride in, like, we had... they have two sections, like sections for families with a buffet, and then they have sections for non-kids that get like a four-course meal every day for lunch and dinner.
So if you just like, if you have kids, you're like out of luck.
You're eating the buffet.
Now, it
may be the same kind of buffet we have. I don't know. Like, you know, but I get, you know, like we'll have... like for lunch, we had cream of broccoli soup, you know, or mm-hmm. with, and it's all cream. You know, it's really tastes really pure and mm-hmm. delicious, whatever.
Well, they said it was a gastronomy experience.
It was gastronomy experience.
And the emphasis on
gas.
Gas.
On the astronomy. But I had a lot of variety. I had a lot of game, which I'm not used to having any game.
Girlfriend, I've been trying to tell you to kind of get game.
I got game.
You refuse to listen to your mama.
I got no game. I know.
But it was your first time ever. You had a first time ever experience. You had rabbit.
I had rabbit.
Bunny rabbit.
And it was quite yummy. It's kind of yummy. Well, and I thought to myself, you're preparing for the zombie apocalypse. So, like, if something went down, at least now you won't be like, mm-hmm. I can't have deer. I can't have quail. I can't have duck. I can't have rabbit. Mm-hmm. I can't have trout. Oh, yes, you can, girlfriend. It's a zombie apocalypse. You go out there. You get that trout from your lake. If there's trout in our lake, I don't know. There might be just
that
Asian carp. Yeah.
There's fish, but I don't know if there's trout.
I don't know. I don't know either. And it's like, I know there's deer in our backyard.
Oh, yeah. We
and I got wild turkey.
We had the poop to show it.
I'll tell you where I stop at. The cardinals. The cardinals are off base for me.
Yeah. You will not eat your cardinal.
No. I know pigeon is a delicacy, but because don't they have pigeon pie and blackbird pie? And
oh, yeah. We had down in Pigeon Forge, we had pigeon pie.
Exactly.
That's right.
But the cardinals, mm-hmm. no way.
Speaking of pigeons, I heard that...
What did you hear?
Pigeon got sold this week for $1.2 million. A pigeon. I mean, I could sell some. I got a bunch of them around.
Was it a gold pigeon? Like it was a pigeon that, like the Maltese falcon? The Maltese pigeon.
Yeah.
Like that? Is that
it was
why?
A Fabergé pigeon.
Fabergé pigeon? Yeah. Is that what you mean?
No. It was one of those pigeons that leave from your house and go to do a message like for spy stuff and then come back.
Oh.
And then they do it in
CIA pigeon.
And then they're timed.
And then they're timed.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're spy pigeons.
Okay.
And then they're real fast.
They're real fast. And they look like normal pigeons. The pigeons are like,
you can't tell.
Pigeons, stop hanging out above my car in the underground parking lot.
Yeah. You cannot tell a difference between a $1.2 million pigeon and a two dollar pigeon.
Yeah, don't know.
They taste just as good.
And they poop on your car just the same.
Yeah.
You know.
Except maybe the $1.2 million, you know, they were talking about how in the 60s or 70s, Get Smart, you know,
yeah.
The movie or the show.
Yeah.
How they thought it was so cool that the Get Smart dude had his phone in his shoe.
Yeah.
You know, and now it just would be like a really big inconvenience that we had to stop what we were doing. Take our shoes off and speak into our shoes. And like, I'm thinking that that's the pigeon has like a little tiny booty or something.
Yeah. That he my God. That's so funny though. Yeah. I mean, to think that back in the day, Get Smart was trying to be on the edge of, you know, like, oh, this is so wonderful and yet bizarre.
Yeah.
And kind of like, oh, come on, that will never happen. Right. Because you got to take your shoe off every time to answer the phone. Couldn't have thought it better, but who would ever guess that your phone would be in your shoe?
I think Kanye and his Yeezys. Yeah. That's the next link. Hey, I think I'm going to put my shoe in my phone.
Are your shoes Bluetooth capable and they have a speaker in it? So now they play your smartphone stuff and you're like... Yeah. Now you really got the beats on your feet.
Yeah.
Look at my feet are jamming feet.
And you're just talking and walking at the same time.
Which is, hey, that's fine. This is how uncool I am. I still have a problem. Like, I think when people are just talking and they're in my vicinity, they really are talking to me.
Right.
And then I go, oh, that's right. This is 2019. People have, you know, earbuds that are, I can't see, and they're just talking to people on the phone. I just assume they're talking to me because we're a foot away from each other. I was in.
And you're so friendly. You're just.
How you doing?
You're like, and hello, talking, everyone. Like,
oh, hello.
You're in my vicinity. I want to say hi to you.
Oh, you're talking to me, right? Yeah. Well, it was funny. I was at Wally World. Hi, love Cardinal. Just Cardinal flew by. My Cardinal. One I chose not to eat. I will not eat you, Cardinal.
He knows now.
He knows. He feels safe here. But anyway, and I was in line at Walmart. And I took the shortest. Sometimes I'd go self-serve, you know, because I don't want to be bothered. Mm-hmm. But I had a little more things in my thing. I'm like, you know what? I just kind of want to be taken care of a day. Mm-hmm. And I got into a line.
You want to be clerkified.
Yes. I got into the line where there was only one person ahead of me, I thought. But then there were actually two. And because the two people were close together. And I thought they were together.
Ooh.
And they weren't.
They weren't.
And the person ahead of her had a lot of small stuff. So even though it looked like a very small pile, it was really time consuming.
A lot of stuff to ring up.
Now, I'm giving you the whole scenario here of what went down.
Yeah.
Because this gentleman behind me, I noticed he looks kind of like a hyper little dude. But he's like 6'2" and, you know, in his early 70s. But like with it, but kind of hyper and looking around. And I'm like, okay, what's going on with this guy behind me?
Mm-hmm.
And he only has two items. He has a grater and like a cheese grater and a pan. I'm like, okay. So he's out there dating for the second time, maybe.
Yeah.
He put his little face on, now 50 plus.
I think I know that little dude.
He's not a little dude, by the way.
Yeah, I think you call him a little dude.
I did.
But I understand because when we were at County Market yesterday. Yeah.
Was there
by the way, you're going to be happy about this.
I know what you're going to say.
Oh, you know?
I thought it was the meat, but it wasn't.
Oh, I wanted to surprise you.
Yeah.
Julie was not going to have any carbs today.
Yeah.
And we're
baking a roast
her.
For Easter.
The County Market has the best.
Yeah.
What do you call them?
Twice baked potatoes. Yes.
And they're like huge little Mama Joes. And they fill them with bacon chips and cheese. And I thought, I'm gonna get one of those for Julie. But anyway, I saw a dude.
We got one for the family. Yeah. That's one for Julie. They're like.
All right.
They're all huge.
All right.
But we, you know.
But no, I saw this guy run in.
Yeah.
The County Market. And he parked in the handicap. But there was nothing really, I couldn't say anything wrong with him, but he was like 72 or something.
Yeah.
And he ran in and he came right back out with a beautiful Easter lily.
Aww.
And I went, he's dating.
He's dating. Yeah.
He's bringing that to his girlfriend.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Because
where else, what else would he be doing on a Saturday night?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think he would be doing it for his wife necessarily.
No. No.
But, you know, it was weird. I was at, so anyway, the guy starts talking to me. And initially, I'm like, is he talking to me? Or is he talking to somebody in his ear? And he's like, oh, I'm in the wrong lane. And I'm like, oh, excuse me, sir? Because, oh, I'm in the wrong lane. I always pick the wrong lane because I always think I'm in the shortest lane and it ends up being the longest lane. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, do you want to cut in front of me? Because you only have two and I have a few more than you.
Oh, you were in front of him.
Yeah. And he goes, no. He goes, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean to say that so I can cut. Mm-hmm. I go, I'm just coming. No matter where I go, I pick the longest lane. I go, well, you know what? You should have the back of your T-shirt then, sir. He goes, what? Don't get behind me because I'm always in the longest lane. He goes, that's really good. I should have that in my T-shirt. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you should. He, of course, was wearing a nice wool sweater with a collar. He looked very, very preppy. Uh-huh. This little guy here getting ready for a Saturday night date.
Whoa.
Yeah. And
he's going to grate some cheese.
Exactly.
Now that's, you know.
And so that was.
That's high class.
So initially I had to go, somebody's talking to me, but I'm not really sure and I'll respond. And then I'm like, oh, so he was my, it took me a moment, but he was talking to me.
Yeah.
When I was in Canada, I was being driven by my good friend, and she and her husband speak French, and they speak English too, thank God, because I don't speak French. But they would talk to each other in French just naturally. And so.
Was it eerie?
No, it was just there are moments I had to try and then they speak English, and so I was just having to catch up. But there was one time that. Well, and Philippe would have to answer phone calls while driving because he had his Bluetooth on. Mm-hmm. But I never knew because I didn't. And so one time. Francine is talking and then talking to me and then talking and then Philippe is just talking randomly and I'm like, I go, I don't know what's going on right now. And then Francine goes, Philippe's talking. I'm like, oh, okay. Philippe's talking. I go, and then finally he stops talking. I'm like, I know Philippe's talking. I go, I don't know what that means. Philippe's talking. Oh no, he's on the phone. I go, oh, okay. I go, we have to have a code, people, that because I don't know when Philippe's just talking randomly to the world like to Francine and we all have to listen or he's talking to his phone. And so I go, just give me a little tap, like, oh, we're on the phone.
Do you ever feel that they're talking about you when they're
I had to let that go in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I told them I knew just enough French to get me in trouble.
Oh, good.
Meaning like.
Like, don't go talking about me,
don't
people.
Go talking about me, girlfriend. Because I know just enough French to get me in trouble. Such as, bonjour, au revoir, merci.
Oui.
Oui. And then when I was
entrepreneur?
Leaving.
Entrepreneur?
Yeah. Buffet? Saboteur?
Yeah. Send me to the buffet.
And then it was funny because. By the end, my brain was just kind of rewiring. And I wanted to, every time I saw somebody that worked there, I was saying, bonjour, you know, au revoir. Mm-hmm. And then, all right. But then I was like, hola, ¿cómo está? Estoy muy bien, gracias.
You slipped into your Spanish.
I slipped into my 4 years of high school Spanish. Ah! I was like, boom, I couldn't do it. Ah. So,
you couldn't sustain it.
And then I thought, I'm just going to sign to everybody. And then they were like, yeah. And then I'd be afraid they'd write to me in French. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, so. See, you know, what's interesting is the Canadians don't understand our infatuation with guns. I don't think they have guns up there, at least in Montreal.
Well, they have to have, I mean, they hunt. But I think you're right. In Montreal, yeah. I don't think they have. I don't think they have. No idea.
Well, but anyway, you said that you witnessed some road rage.
Yes.
But because they don't, like here, if you're in Texas or someplace, you know, you'd be kind of careful.
Yeah.
But there was some kind of something happened at a stoplight.
Yeah.
And one person got out and the other person got out and they, you know, were facing each other.
They're like,
and you're like, and then I, the guy goes,
like, oh, translate for me. What's going
on? He's like, I will take a picture of you with my phone and maybe then take it and paint it as a portrait. And then I will piss on your portrait, sir. Like, oh my God.
And I said, good day. I said, good day, sir.
Oh my God.
Like, whoa.
You will piss on my portrait.
I go, This is horrible. These people are. I go, that's a long way to go.
That's a lot of trouble for a little bit of road rage. But we, you know, here in America, we just like, you know, pull a gun.
Well, you know, like, yeah, come on. Yeah. Or at least the fear of being a gun being pulled out.
That
is
makes,
always
doesn't
there.
That make you better?
Yes. It's sort of like that one town where it says it is the law to be caring. So just let you go, everyone's caring. Like, well, there's something ironically
peaceful
about this. You know, it's like something ironically. Yeah. And I don't feel safe. I don't feel safer when I go into a movie theater and it says no guns allowed. I'm like, all right.
Darn.
Yeah.
I was going to clean my pistol.
Yeah, I was going to clean my pistol in the dark.
It got boring.
Yeah. Now only the criminals have guns in the movie theater. That's crazy.
You know? But don't you love, though, the new idea of these awesome recliners in movie theaters?
I love them.
That you just get to go and... You know, you're sitting back and just
I love it, and I don't, because it's, did you say snoozing?
Yeah.
That's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
But it's dark.
I truly believe that there's always a consequence for the bright new idea, right? Mm-hmm. So here we go to the nice new AMC. You know, we have in Sterling, we have AMC Classic, mm-hmm. which means cheaper theater and no recliners. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But you go to the AMC Upgrade or the Elite or whatever, and in the bigger city of DeKalb, and you lean
AMC
back.
AMC Elegante.
And it feels like leather. I don't know if it is leather mm-hmm. or not. But
it could be pleather.
It's that real, like, hospital leather. Like, you know.
That's hard. Yeah.
You can wipe this thing down. Yeah. Nothing comes, you know.
Yeah. You're supposed to wipe it down,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. So you lean back, and you lean back as far as you want. And I think the main purpose of this is, first of all, you leave completely relaxed. But you don't enjoy the movie as much, because at some point you go, I just dozed off. Holy crap, I just dozed off.
What did I miss?
What the hell did I miss? I go, that was the best nap I've had in a long time. The room's completely dark. I don't know what's going on. And I think they've turned down the volume slightly, so that it just becomes more the soothing and so forth. Mm-hmm. Now, the
recliners should jiggle.
These didn't, though. Maybe they do in other ones. Mm-hmm. They do in other ones. I remember that. Or there's an upgrade, and then there's the upgrade. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, you're not used to laying back, so everything in your pockets naturally fall out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't think they have planned this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Doug forgot his wallet because it fell out of his pocket. Mm-hmm. It was in the recliner. Mm-hmm. And if I hadn't called 10 minutes after we left saying, hey, he left his wallet there, they might have, like, oops, found a wallet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily it was there and so forth. So, I mean, there's just these natural consequences to cool stuff.
Yeah, grab his wallet.
Grab it. Like, everyone, I want to clean the reclining seats. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Because, listen, you've cleaned out your recliner at home, people out there in Life with a Girlfriend's world. And what have you found? Coins, hard candy, few dollar bills,
condoms,
some keys. No, I never found those.
Oh, I'm sorry. You haven't found those in your recliner.
Exactly. Not in mine. My recliner is not that kind of recliner. It's not that kind of recliner.
You know, speaking of recliners, you know, I've been cutting your father's hair for how many decades?
50. No, not All right. Listen, I've heard you talk. Years? You keep telling me I've known your father for lifetimes. For lifetimes.
We're going to finally get it right at some point.
No, I don't know, 50? That seems appropriate.
No, but I've been cutting his hair really literally all our lives. But lately we got a new fancy fandangled sports clips.
Yes.
In Sterling.
Yes.
And he's been going there.
Yes.
And then he came home and he had a free haircut, mm-hmm. you know, and for you.
Right.
And so you went, and now I know why your father wants to get his hair cut there. Mm-hmm. Because I just thought, hey, you know how we're used to, like, you go in, they squirt you down, and did it, you know, you're done, you're out of there. But oh no, for the men, just tell Jill, because you had a little experience.
Well, I had a little experience for the men. If you go and they first off wash your hair and then they massage your scalp. But they wash it. There's no lights. It's dark, mm-hmm. which I find very interesting. Mm-hmm. You go in and it's called locker room on top. Mm-hmm. That's what it says, locker room, and you're like, I'm being shown the locker room, and you think, ooh, and it's dark. So you're like, is this just the hallway to the room? Uh-huh. No, it is the room.
It's the room.
It's got ambient light. Yeah. Is that the right word? Ambient?
Yeah, ambient.
And
the French say ambient.
Okay. And then you sit down, and then they recline you. Mm-hmm. And then they turn a button on, and then the recliner vibrates like a massage. Mm-hmm. And I said, is this what everybody gets? He goes, yeah, this is what everybody gets. And she's massaging my scalp.
Here's your scalp massage.
And I'm finding this to be very awkward because she's not talking to me. Uh-huh. I mean, it's not like a girl, like I'm going to a woman and we're like, just, hey, oh, how's this feel? Like, oh, this feels great. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Oh, this is lovely.
It's just like a chit chat.
No, this is like in complete darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm getting my scalp massage and, you know, by this young girl, by the young thing. And then she goes, you want a hot towel for your face? I'm like, I really,
for what reason?
Well, does everybody get this? He goes, oh yeah.
They love it.
I'm like, sure, let's put the hot towel on my face. And she goes, is it too hot? I go, it's a little warm, but it'll cool off, I'm sure. Right? And then so I'm like, well, I'm just going to go for the experience because what is my word right now?
Say yes to everything.
Say yes to everything.
Yeah.
For the most part. I say that now and someone will come up with a dare and they're like, screw you.
But this right is not now, yes Julie man you're saying yes to everything.
Yeah. And so I go, sure. And so, you know, I'm still thinking, these are what men get. This is awesome.
Yeah.
And then...
So then you move out of the locker room.
Yes. And by this time, I'm starting to have a little anxiety because my haircut that I really just wanted spray down... You know,
trim
out the door is becoming a dealio.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to have anxiety about it. And so, and then the rest of the process is she does a great job cutting your hair. Mm-hmm. She'll massage your neck.
Neck and
shoulder massage. And then she'll blow your hair dry. And you're just like, this is just too much for me. Mm-hmm. Too much for me. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, though, you decided to make sure Norman had that experience.
That's right.
Because you feel secure in your relationship with him.
Well, I just thought, oh, the old guy. I mean,
yeah, come on. Do you have a 22-year-old?
That's the only way he'll ever have a 22-year-old for under 20 bucks.
Yeah. Well, it's not really under 20.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. While he was having that experience,
you and I had
our own experience.
Okay.
And it was a fascinating one.
Well, and I
actually enjoyed it.
Yes. Now, I have mentioned this experience before, but we upgraded it.
Yes.
Because I decided to bring you along to my favorite car wash.
It's a brand new one.
Yes.
I swear to God, Sterling's getting pretty awesome.
Awesome. And so I decided to bring you along to my favorite car wash and because I wanted to treat myself. And to do this, I had to... And the better thing, like the last time I did this, I couldn't connect with the Bluetooth to the radio. So I was just listening to the music over the phone. It was kind of let down, but it was still good. Mm-hmm. This time we really extracted all the joy from this car wash. Mm-hmm. It is the car wash.
It's where a brand new car wash.
You pull up. And it takes you on a conveyor belt.
Yeah. And see, that just that alone,
is
number
fun.
One, is fun because, you know, here, how many times when you go through a car wash do you have to actually put your foot on the gas and move yourself through?
Yes.
But this thing It allows you to just, it takes you, and you're like, you could go in the back seat if you want to.
Yep.
You can have your burger. But Julie and I chose to have an experience. Because this is called the Rainbow Car Wash.
Is it really?
Rainbow Experience.
Well, it's called my Rainbow. I don't think it's called Rainbow anything. That's my experience.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm nicknaming it Rainbow Car Wash. Yeah. Hashtag Rainbow Car Wash.
Yeah. Isn't that called Rainbow?
Because I heard this, I saw this one commercial, and I can't remember what the product's for. It might be for, I don't know. But it's about, you know, the Stone song comes on. And it's, you know, rainbow everywhere. Yeah. She combs her hair. You know, that song.
Yeah.
And so I put it through our radio. I played that song.
Because as you go through this car wash, it's different colors.
They have strobe lights.
They have different color strobe lights, but they also have different color, I don't know.
Solutions.
Solutions on your car.
Yeah.
And it is like a rainbow.
It's like a rainbow.
And so Julie and I, we went through it. We were blasting.
Blasting it off.
Blasting to Stones. It's like a rainbow.
Yes.
And we were like grooving because we didn't have to, Jill didn't have to have a foot in the pedal.
No. She's like totally relaxing and grooving and extracting all the joy from this car wash. And the song's a little bit longer than the car wash. And I tell you this for one reason.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. I wish it was perfectly timed.
I wish it was perfectly timed. So the song's like 3.5 minutes long, I think, and this maybe four. And this is a 2.5-3 minute car wash at the most.
Yeah.
But here is a dealio. So people must be enjoying this car wash experience because now it's being amped even more on commercials. And I saw a commercial where they come out of the car wash and they're like, before the car, you had to get into drive to get out of the car wash. This two 20-something, late 20-something, early 30-somethings are getting from the back seat to the front seat.
Mm-hmm.
I call major BS on this. I'm sorry. I'm like, BS. First of all, this is a 3-minute car wash. I just thought to myself, by the time literally I get my butt in the back seat of this car during the car wash, I'm like, the dryers are on. I gotta get they're inferring that they're hanky panking in the back seat.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's what they're inferring.
Yes,
that's what they're inferring. Oh my god.
Now here's a dealio. I would be okay. I mean, that's the inferring or whatever, you know, whatever they're supposed to be saying. But I guess it's a better visual than two people kissing and then going, oh, stop kissing in the front seat.
Right.
The idea is, oh, they just, what were they doing in the back seat? Right. Oh, so salacious. Oh, no. What are they doing? Ooh, ooh, I can't imagine. You know, they were wrapping presents. Okay. It's Christmas time. I don't know.
There's something about, okay, here, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
That the millennials are running these advertising agencies now.
Yeah.
Because that's their generation, right?
Right.
And so there's something like, I feel like they've just, they act as if they just discovered entendres or, look, let's pretend that they're doing something in the back seat and then they come back over. And this one commercial I saw this week was really bugged me. It was as if this advertising agency went, oh, we discovered NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, for the first time. Let's use that.
Right.
So this is for some stop smoking pill to help you stop smoking. But they're out in the woods.
Right.
And you see a kind of a campsite. There's a tent there. There's a, you know, like stones where there was a fire, you know.
Right.
And you see the curtains kind of opening in the tent, and a giant turkey comes out.
Mm.
He's got a little red hat, a little scarf around his neck, and he kind of spreads his wings and takes a deep breath in, and then kind of goes, kind of closes his wing and kind of shivers.
Yeah.
And then walks over to the campsite, you know, to the circle there, sits down. And at that moment, I went, oh, that's a cold turkey. Oh. What? What? Oh my God. They're implying, and then instead of having a cigarette, which he throws into the fire, which he's making, he takes a whatever pill it is, you know.
Or a patch, something.
Something, yeah. But it's like, oh my God, this is so awesome.
Right.
They discovered subliminal advertising.
Right.
These They're geniuses, these millennials, right? Yeah.
Geniuses. Well,
did I tell you?
I think in the world where everything has to be black and white and gray,
everything has to ask permission for everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everything has to be cut and dry. Like, yeah. Oh, this is the rule.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I don't know the rule, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. But I know the saying cold turkey. I've seen this commercial. I'm not sure if I like, oh, that's only until you told me about it was it like, oh, that's right. That's cold turkey. Now, I had another experience about that because now I'm looking for the commercials differently.
Right.
And this woman comes out. I don't know what the product is, but she comes out and she's baked a pie. And there, you know how you cut out stencils in the pie, right. Make a pre-design?
Yeah.
And I go, oh, is that a ruin? You know, a ruin
really?
On the pie? You know?
A ruin. Uh-huh.
And I go, Julie, you're being so stupid right now. It was a sign for pie. You know?
Oh, my God. No.
And I'm like, oh.
No.
I'm like, oh, you millennials, oh, you are so smart.
Oh, my God.
And but it could be a ruin also.
She baked a pie.
And put the
pie. What is it, 3.124?
No, but it was a symbol.
The sign.
Yeah, the
for
symbol.
For pie.
Yeah. It was a symbol for pie.
Yeah.
Which could be a ruin, too. I'm thinking it is.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably, you know, probably a Chinese symbol for peace. I don't know, because I want a peace pie.
Wait, I want a pizza pie.
I want a pizza pie.
And that is definitely Chinese. No, just kidding.
Pizza pie? Yeah.
No, but I want to go back.
Sure.
Kind of roll back here, thinking back to Canada.
Yes.
You had, I want people to hear this experience that you had on the flight home.
You know,
and this was, I felt, and speaking of like, you know, subliminal programming, things like this experience, you know, so Julie gets, is this the flight where you got the one that got canceled?
Right. So my flight back from Canada on Sunday, last Sunday, got canceled because we had a blizzard in Chicago. Weather was perfect.
No problem.
In Montreal. No problem in Montreal. Yeah. It rained Sunday night, but besides that, it was perfect. Blizzard in Chicago. I'm like, oh my God. So my flight not just got delayed, but got canceled.
Right.
So then I could stay there the whole day and get back the next day at 7 o'clock at night. Well, actually leave at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I called them. Finally, after 3 hours, I got a hold of somebody and I said, please, let's just work this out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, well, hey, if we get you on to Toronto first and then Toronto to Chicago, we can get you there home a lot earlier. You'll be in you'll get home in the morning. I'm like, okay, I'll do this. So I go from Montreal to Toronto and I only have a 1 hour and I'm late leaving Toronto because there were – quote unquote, a check engine light on the plane.
Oh, no.
They go, we've got a cautionary check engine light. And I'm like, we got to make sure this is okay before we take off. I'm mm-hmm. like, you know what? You take your time. But we're on the tarmac already.
Yeah.
We're literally 20 seconds from hitting the engine, the button to go fast and take off. And they're like,
check engine light,
cautionary. Let's get this taken care mm-hmm. of. And then, but I'm starting to get anxiety because I know I have a very small window to get to my other plane to get home. I had already talked to Air Canada and they said I have to go through the checkpoint in Toronto. I have to go through customs in Toronto. My brother says, no, you won't go through customs until you land in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, great. So it won't be a big dealio.
Mm-hmm.
He was wrong
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because I had to walk through these double doors and it said, you are entering U.S. territory or something like here is U.S. customs right now. And gratefully, so had to stay on the tarmac an extra 15 minutes before we left for Toronto. I'm talking fast now because the anxiety is building in me. Like, ooh, oh, no. We get off. I'm like, great. Okay, we're up. And I'm in the middle of two people. I'm like, oh, that's fine. You know, sitting in the middle of two.
Oh, you're actually in the plane now.
Yeah, I'm in a plane, taking off in the middle. But it was a nice ride. It was actually not too bad. We land in Toronto, and I have checked my bag because I had a pretty big bag. And I just trusted that it was going to get to Chicago. But the nice thing about it is I didn't have to worry about luggage, which might have made me look suspicious. I don't know, going through customs. We'll see. So I get through. I'm running. And as fast as I possibly can with my bum knee. And I get on these pathways that move with you so you can actually double time, which mm-hmm. I love. And so I finally get to U.S. Customs. And there is a long line. And I'm like, holy cow, I'm not going to make it. And this woman opens up another line for just me and the other plane that just came in. I'm like, thank you. And I'm third in line, and it still takes a while. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, woman, for opening up this thing. So I get there, and
you're on the plane now.
No, I'm in customs line. Mm-hmm. The gentleman calls me forward, and I don't know why custom guys have to be so curt. Like, you know, and he goes, how long were you in Canada? I go, 3 days. Mm. I got there on Friday. He goes, why were you there? I go, for a conference, personal conference. Mm-hmm. And they go, okay. And he's like, you know, he's shaven head, mm-hmm. really good posture, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And never looks you in the eye, but then looks at you.
I was there for the gastronomy.
Yes. And goes, do you have any food? I'm like, mm. I go, no. I go, oh, wait a minute. I have pistachios in my purse. That's fine. Pistachios. I'm not gonna take your pistachios away from you. I'm like, oh, thank God. Ah. And then you're like, you're clear to go. So I'm running. I'm like, great. And the guy behind me who got clear to go, we're both now looking for Terminal 54, or 53, which is very odd because they're redoing the Toronto airport. So we're both running, and it says, you know, to Terminal 50 to 55 this way. And then we're running. And then all of a sudden, it says Terminal 55 to this way. And we're like, what happened to Terminal 53? Mm-hmm. And then we're like, we're both looking around. Like, where's Terminal 53 at? Mm-hmm. And it literally vanished. It totally vanished. And then we turn around, and if you look in the opposite direction, there was a sign pointing upward, like 53 up. And we're like, well, there's some stairs. Are we supposed to go up the stairs? And then luckily he read, well, this is an emergency exit. If we open the doors, the buzzer will go.
Oh, my God.
And then he goes, I'm going to run back to Air Canada and ask where to go. And I'm like, okay. And so then I keep walking. I go, maybe I'll find it. And sure enough, there was a big sign 20 feet down further, but it was visually it was covered up by this big pillar. And so I'm yelling at the airport, sir, it's right here. So he turns around, and it was kind of cool because I'm like, oh, never did I think I could yell in the airport. You know, like, hey, it's this way. And so he runs back, and literally minutes to spare.
Wow.
I mean, everything went really well.
Yeah, you were lucky.
But it took an hour.
Yeah.
Everything went well, and it took an hour.
Yeah.
So I go up, and in line, and the guy goes, oh, we've got a problem with your ticket. You'll have to talk to this woman over here. So I'm talking to this woman over here, and she goes, they've canceled your flight because you've checked in your luggage. I go, well, why would they do that? They knew I had they go, well, let me call up and see if I can get you on this flight. We've canceled your seat. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, okay, well, at least I'm a little bit closer to home. I'm just kind of, mm-hmm. I'm here.
At least you're in Toronto.
And they had said, were they at, were, you know, was she on the canceled flight? And they go, yes. And so this is taking a while. But now, so I'm here waiting at the front of the line. And something interesting happens. This gentleman, this is just a little added flavor.
I think it's interesting.
Yes. Oh, the other part wasn't interesting at all. I know.
No, it wasn't. Well, it's like, okay, to get to this part, I had this here. But this is, to me, this is the part that's interesting.
Got it.
This is the part that I love.
Okay. So
it's not just a gentleman. He's in a group.
He's in a group of like 20-somethings.
20-somethings.
Not early college, but like master's degree, kind of like in that area. Yeah. Kind of, you know, definitely hip, like, definitely cool. Yeah.
Bunch of guys
hanging out, you know, going. And they pull one of the guys out, who happens to maybe, looks like he's from the Middle East. Okay, just happens to be, okay? Which is not, they don't all look like they're Middle Eastern, but he just happens to look like it.
And they tap his shoulder and pull him out.
He goes, we have to have you pull out. We're going to pull you out. And they're like, why? He goes, Well, and this is what I'm overhearing. Okay, I am telling you right now, this is what I heard. We are pulling you out because we have to have a certain person that's going to be like our security for the plane. A person that will be like we have to give you more responsibility to do on the plane for security reasons. And to do that, we have to do a full background check on you. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't cleared yet.
So what you're saying is we chose you above everybody else to be kind of like the sheriff of this flight.
We're going to give you a badge.
And because you're going to be sheriff, we're going to have to do a quick security check on you.
100%, yeah.
And then when you get on the plane, you won't be able to sit with your friends because you will be in the back.
You have to be in the back of the plane.
So you have a good view of
the whole plane. I'm sorry, sir. This is just how it has to be, but we've picked you.
You're special.
So
and he goes like, why can't someone else be the sheriff?
Why can't I?
I want to stay with my friends.
He literally said, this is bullshit. Because what's
I call bullshit on this sheriff thing.
Yeah. He goes, no, sir, this is an honor. Yeah. And you're going to be, and so we have to have you sit in the back. Now, here's the weird part. Here's the even weirder part. His friends were in the front of the plane. Mm-hmm. He has to sit in the back of the plane. The plane, if by chance, is half full. Half, if that. Mm-hmm. There is no one sitting next to me. One person in front. The two seats behind me were empty. And so the guy goes, can I go up and sit with my friends now since the plane's not very empty?
Yeah.
The woman goes, no one can move. You are all in your assigned seats because it's weight distributed. He goes, you must stay where you are.
And as sheriff, you will have a bird's eye view.
Yes, you must stay at the back of the plane by yourself.
Yeah. And do you mind if you're handcuffed?
He almost looks shell-shocked.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know if he should feel like...
Special.
And like, it'd be different if they gave him extra food and drink, which maybe they did.
Maybe.
Maybe like, hey, because you're the sheriff of the plane... Mm-hmm. We're going to give you $50 in you know, airplane food. Mm-hmm. You can buy it from our menu, which they have, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Which here, like, $50, great. I'll take a Pringles and a Twix. Awesome.
And a bottle of water.
And a bottle of water. Thank you. Thank you, airport food. And so, but literally, he must have said, this is bullshit. This is BS. Like three or four times as he walked by me.
His friends, like, turning around looking at him going like, dude.
they didn't know what, because at some point, you are powerless.
Yeah, at some point.
They can go, not going to get on the plane a day.
Yeah.
And you're like,
now when they bring in the weight distribution issue.
Yeah.
And you're like,
no one can move.
Nobody can even sneeze.
Yeah. No one can move. This is all weight distributed.
I've never heard of this before, but at some point when we're up in the air, we need the ballast to like throw away your luggage.
I've been on a 3-day gastronomy weekend and my weight distributed a little bit differently than before the flight. So what are we going to do about that? Who do I see about that? Because I don't want me to be the reason.
So did the sheriff take care of everything? Was the town safe?
The plane ride was a great plane ride, except that when we got to the airport in O'Hare, which I don't understand this. Like, I don't know if, Mom, you're making me laugh. I have to say this. I don't know if I say this.
Don't say it.
Okay. You're doing something that you don't want anybody else to know that you're doing, so you move the microphone away from you.
Did it help?
It helped. I'm telling you, your microphone is not on that end. So we wouldn't have heard it anyway, but it was kind of funny. And after the third or fourth time, I had a comment. I just had
to. Thanks, Jewel.
I just had to.
Yeah.
Hey,
well,
background.
Guess what? You'll never be the sheriff in this house.
I know. But so we land in Chicago at O'Hare. And it was hysterical to me because it almost felt like the pilot was surprised what went on next. Like, he literally had this awe of, like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm like, dude, you've been a pilot for years. I'm sure this has happened to you before.
What was it?
Well, so we're on the tarmac. We land, and he gets on the thing. Well, here we are, Chicago.
Was it a French pilot? I mean, French Canadian?
Well, he only spoke in English, but all the flight attendants spoke in both French and Italian.
Sometimes you can,
French and English.
Sometimes you can tell because even if they speak English, they have the accent, or like, let's say, instead of saying attitude, they go attitude.
Yeah.
The attitude.
Yeah. No, not just, at all.
Oh, okay.
And,
you have a bad attitude. No, yeah, I have a bad attitude.
Yeah. Or no, dear, dear, attitude. he just said, okay, well, anyway, here's what's going on. We've got about a 20-minute wait. There's a plane in our gate. It's not moving yet. So we've got to wait for this plane to get out before we can move in. And we're just going to sit here on the tarmac and so forth. And so 20 minutes come and going. Gratefully, I spent the $350 and got me some earplugs, because now I'm watching, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. And so I just kept watching different episodes. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking out the window, and there literally are more and more planes landing and just, like, hovering around.
Whoa.
And then he comes back in again. He goes, well, they're telling us it might be another 20-25 minute wait.
Whoa.
So I'll let you guys know. I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on? And more planes are just backing up. And I see more and more planes just landing.
Whoa.
They said, well, you know, all of our – here's what happened, people. You know, yesterday there was a blizzard in Chicago. And I guess all of our partners that we work with here put more planes in the air to get everybody home. And that's so we have a lot of congestion here at O'Hare for now. And we don't know. We hope in the next 20 or 30 minutes. And I think we were on the ground for about an hour, but maybe an hour and a half. But the truth is, at this point, I'm fine.
You're fine.
The plane has stopped.
And it's not full.
It's not full.
It feels safe because the sheriff's
in town. And I spent $350 for headphones.
$3 or $350?
$3.50. But can I tell you something? I was actually quite proud of myself. I'll tell you why. Okay? Because I plugged in my headphones in my seat, and the sound quality was crap. Like, you couldn't, the words didn't, they were just, it was crappy quality.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand it. I'm like, oh man, this sucks. And I can't change seats.
Because of the ballast issue.
Exactly. Oh my God, I don't know. And listening to, you know, Brooklyn Nine-Nine's not worth, you know, dying over. So I had to stay in my seat. So the whole flight, I plugged my speakerphone into my partner's headphone thing. And I got Brooklyn Nine-Nine on both screens, right?
Whoa.
And I tried really hard to match them up perfectly.
Yeah.
So that took a little bit of skill.
Yeah.
A little bit of pausing and playing on different ones to make sure that the voice and the speaking matched up. And I had them both times, both screens playing Brooklyn Nine-Nine simultaneously at the exact moment. I felt very proud of myself.
Oh my God, Jill, that was rogue.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Was awesome.
And all along, I've felt so safe because my sheriff is in the back of the plane making sure we're all safe, taking ready to take down anybody, even though in his mind he's like, this is bullshit.
What happened here? <There's> no-
and we're all just like, no one's going to say anything. We're not going to say a darn thing about this.
Nope, we're just surrendering to it.
Yes, because the truth is, it's their world, and I just want to get home.
Yeah.
That's my only goal, and we did.
And you did not pick up your luggage.
But can I tell you something? No. Okay. Short story longer. My luggage did not make it.
No.
Which was really funny. I end up coming home with $50 in Canadian money.
Yeah.
Which I did not
Did we ever change that?
No. We decided that we're going to wait and...
until it gets higher in value?
No. I don't know what we're going to do. And I didn't have to use Canadian money at all. I was going to use my credit card the entire time.
Right.
Except at the end, I was going to have to take a taxi trip. Pay for a cab because of my flight being canceled. I was going to have to spend the night. Didn't end up just staying at the airport the whole night and getting a late flight and all that stuff. But in the midst of all this, because it takes 2 to 3 hours sometimes to figure out your plans, I had exchanged $100 in American dollars for Canadian dollars, which was just a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But oh well. So now I came back with some cash. But anyway, go down to the airport. Looking for the carousel. After seeing the 20th black bag go through with wheels. I'm like, that's not my black bag. That's not my black bag.
You put yarn on yours, didn't
you? I did. I put colorful yarn on the handles of my black bag just so I could differentiate. And still, after seeing all the black bags go through once, I thought, well, there's a possibility the yarn came off, maybe. So I started.
Or maybe that flagged you.
Yeah, that flagged me. I'm like, maybe they opened
oh
up.
Oh, my God, the great yarn killer's on board.
Well, can I tell you something? So, okay, so you know how you have zippers on your luggage? So the zippers have little holes, right, to put a lock
right,
on? Okay,
right.
So I just tied it up with yarn, and that was untied.
Oh, was it
when
really?
I got to my hotel?
Oh my God!
So they must have had to snip that off,
sure,
and to look inside my bag.
Yeah,
what, and I'm like,
what is this yarn protecting? Yeah.
It's like when I go away and I put powder behind my door. Yeah. I only do it to see if anybody walked in my room, you know, or like walked into the house.
A big footprint in powder. You know, that would be a clue.
It's a clue.
Maybe somebody took that powder up and put new powder there.
Have you ever done that? Do you ever do that? I do that sometimes because then it makes me feel like, well, like I look at like there are footprints in this powder. Somebody's either in my room or has gone through my room, and I'm like, you know, and it's just my bizarre way of thinking, like, oh, I've got one more level of safety,
yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
But see, here's the dealio. If I did see footprints, I'd go in, like, with muscle, with my fist drawn, my two guns drawn.
Yeah. You're going to take a portrait of them and then piss on the portrait.
I would go, yes, exactly. I would say, bonjour, bonjour. Au revoir. Get the fuck out of my room. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That would be my dastardly plan.
Yeah.
But then, so the upshot of it all,
yes.
When I got home, no luggage, I just thought to myself, I will feel much better once my luggage comes.
Yeah. You were kind of restless. I was restless.
It was a 3-day conference on manifesting with your voice, and it was a great... It was a great conference, but it was like intense, like it was jam packed. You know, it's sort of like when you go to a Frank Kearns conference.
Yeah,
at some point you're going, I'm kind of looking forward to going home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at some point it's almost like you should stay one more day.
Yeah,
to
I think everybody knows that now.
Except that you don't ever have that kind of time. You're like, I gotta go to work. Mm-hmm. You know, I gotta go to work to pay for the conference. Yada yada yada. Whatever. So. They never tell you the whole truth about what's going down. I don't think anybody really knows the whole truth.
About what?
Like the airport.
Uh-huh.
When our flight got canceled, there must have been 10 people saying, you told me to get into this line. Is this not true? Just tell me what to do. I'll do exactly what you want me to do. But you guys keep telling me different stories. What do you want me to do? I will do whatever you want me to do. And they'll go, well, here's what we've been told now. Mm-hmm. So no one ever really knows what really is going down. Mm-hmm. But my feeling is, it's not the first time a flight's been canceled going to Chicago or from Montreal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the fact that people don't know specifically what goes down or are things always in ebb and flow, mm-hmm. always in ebb and flow.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Jules. When me and Dad found out, you know, that your flight got canceled, we just went... We'll just go pick you up. We'll just drive there.
You said that.
It's like, it's not a big deal for us to drive 8 hours.
No.
Dad's a trucker.
Right. And I contemplate driving to Montreal.
Yeah.
But my friend goes like, no, you can't. You will be rested. It's a 2-hour drive. I'm like, ah. All right, but I'm a trucker. I'm a trucker.
It's resting for us.
Exactly. I put my book on CD or on tape and listen to it, and I'll be like, yeah, awesome. Okay, now here's the weird part. If you guys would have taken off where you guys were in Dixon, the weather was nothing. You had like a quarter of an inch of snow.
Right,
I mean,
it was nothing.
It was
powder, yeah.
Yeah, it was nothing. But they had a foot literally 30 miles away from you.
Yeah.
And so you would have taken off, and then you would have gone, well, this might be a mistake. this is a lot going down here.
Yeah,
who knows why?
Yeah.
Who knows why? But I feel great to be home.
I'm so happy.
And I'm glad I had an experience. It was a great experience.
Yeah.
And the more I realize about this stuff, it's like you'll remember the crazy stuff that happens. I'll remember seeing my good friend that I've known for a decade for the first time at the airport. You know, that I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember the great food and the experience at Jouvence. Because I just think when I say the word Jouvence, I just a picture of Johnny Depp, you know, like this is Johnny Depp's new cologne.
Jouvence. I like Johnny Depp's cologne. It's called it's Sauvage, but I say that you take the V out and put an S there.
Sausage.
It's a masculine scent. It's called sausage.
And I still don't understand. I'm sorry, people. I still don't understand why he has to throw the sand around so aggressively and abruptly.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he has to cry at the sight of a bison. Yeah. Bison make me happy.
Yeah. Bison, that's make me happy.
That's my next song. Bison, I'm gonna do. Well, watch out, world.
Can I say something though?
When I win that Grammy,
I don't know
for Bison make me happy.
Okay, I'm not saying like so at this conference. There were mostly French, Quebecians there. And there was another American that lives in Quebec now full time and has been there for 20 some years or even longer, 40 years. Mm-hmm. But she's from Toledo. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm telling you, they call Toledo. They have a little prejudice against the Americans, just a little bit.
Yeah. And is that weird to see?
It kind of is. Because I'm like, dude, we're literally 20 minutes away from you, okay? Just cross the border's right there. But what I felt was I felt the need to like overcompensate because where I was at was beautiful. It was beautiful. But literally, it's 20 minutes from the United States. It looks like every place else I've been to. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
I live in beauty.
We live in beauty.
Yes. I live in Northern Illinois. And I live in beauty.
Yeah,
I live in.
We have state parks.
We have a golf course. We have a lake. I am a mile away from a herd of bison. I've got deer in my yard, crapping all the time. Turkeys. I got turkeys. I got a cardinal that knocks my window.
We have a fox that lives in a culvert.
Yeah, I mean, I live, and also we're literally, you know, 5 minutes from cliffs and hills.
Yeah,
we're a little bit further from bigger hills and
the Rock River.
Yeah,
and the Mississippi.
We can go skiing. We can go. I mean, we literally live in beauty. And so I'm like, dude, yes, this is gorgeous. I live in beauty. I mean, come on.
The only thing different was that when you see a beautiful sunset here or something, you don't go, oh oui, oh bonjour.
Yes, exactly. I did think I was in the movie French Kiss a lot.
Really?
Yes, because everybody sounds so romantic. Everybody sounds so, I'm like, oh, you want some wine? Everything just sounds so romantic.
But really what they're saying is, life is hard and then you die.
Yeah.
Viva la revolution.
Viva. And if you're a South Park fan from the movie, yeah, viva la revolution. There is no God. And then with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth, oh, there is no God.
And in between the gastronomy courses, a mime entertained us.
Yeah. And we talked about Marxism.
With our hands. With our hands.
And it was a very, very good conference. And I felt changed and very cynical. But I had good wine and good food. Like, woo! Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Instead of having your cell phone, you had a baguette.
Exactly. I did. Well, it was really weird because I had been giving up carbs and like fasting, doing intermittent fasting. I was like, screw it. And I'm going, oh, I could just feel the water weight coming back like in a, with.
Yeah, you just feel it.
I can, even though I just ate vegetables and good stuff, I'm still, it's like, it's just different.
Yeah.
Just different. It's not my good soup I make and all that good stuff. So, all right. So, girlfriend, that was the end of our show, really.
What?
I know.
We didn't get to talk about half of the things that we wanted to talk about.
There's always next week. But I do have to say, I'm sorry if it was a little boring, my story about my trip to the airport. Besides that, girlfriend, how was the show?
It was great. Wait, I should say it in a French accent. Oh, it was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.